This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It is no exaggeration to say that the main branch of the Detroit Public Library is a gem, a 1921 building that's an architectural wonder. And as a library, it's a powerhouse, the fourth largest library in the nation with more than 7 million volumes. The Detroit Public Library turns 150 years old this week. Dan Austin of the Detroit Free Press and HistoricDetroit.org is back with us. Dan, the Detroit Public Library start goes back to what, the end of the Civil War?
Right. It opened up on March 25th, 1865. So that was, you know, mere days before the Civil War was winding down.
That is something. And there were pretty humble beginnings at that point, right? And I'm guessing at that point, literacy wasn't a real high priority for a lot of people in this small town of Detroit.
No, we were still a frontier town in 1865 by most accounts. The library opens up in the old state capitol because, like most great things in Michigan, it started in Detroit. But the city, you know, it was a small town, about 45,000 people. Therefore, the library could fit into a couple rooms in the old state capitol. Of course, Detroit had bigger plans in mind, and much like the city itself, the library would just grow exponentially.
I know ultimately the library moved to a location that some of us might remember at Gratiot and Farmer, a little triangle that when I was growing up, I remember just east of the downtown Hudson. So it moved to this location called Center Park, and it became known as Library Park.
Right. The state capitol just proved to be too small. You know, a couple of rooms might suffice for a small shanty town, but a bustling city needed something more substantial. You know, we won't bore the listeners with all of the lawsuits and everything else, but eventually they took this park right by where Hudson's and Crowley's, for that matter, would be built, and they put a library there. It's not the same one that we might remember. There is still a library branch there. But the first real library, I guess we can say, opened in downtown Detroit in 1877.
At that point, it was becoming more important to a city's identity to have a pretty darn good library, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, I don't know who you would attribute the quote to, but, you know, a city is as great as its library. And that pursuit of knowledge, knowledge is power, that kind of idea really started to root itself in the city as we became more of an industrial center, just a larger city in general. I mean, a lot of people don't realize just how quickly Detroit grew. We started 45,000 when the library opened in 1865. By 1880, when the first library opened, we were at 100,000. And then 20 years later, we were at 300,000. I mean, cities don't just grow like that anymore. And the more people that moved to the city, you know, we didn't have Netflix to watch. You know, we couldn't binge-watch Game of Thrones in 1880. We had to read. And so there was a big demand for this stuff. And the library started opening up branches about 1900. They had locations inside firehouses and schools and factories, hospitals, these little satellite locations to fulfill the need that Detroiters had for knowledge and for entertainment.
And then what brought the library north up Woodward to the present site of the main branch that's right across Woodward from the DIA?
The old library that was downtown, and we have pictures of it on historicdetroit.org, and it's actually in my second book, Forgotten Landmarks of Detroit, forgive the plug. But you really need to see pictures of it. It's a gorgeous building, but unfortunately, that small triangular plot of land you were talking about, it just was not big enough to build a new library that could fulfill the needs of Detroit. As the city was continuing to grow north up Woodward, you know, there were some rumblings about opening up a new museum, what would later become the Detroit Institute of Arts there on Woodward, just north of Warren. So there was this talk about creating a cultural center in the city dating way back to 1910, 1915, around there. So they bought the land and work got started in 1917 on this beautiful building that you're talking about. It would open in March of 1921. And it was designed by Cass Gilbert, who went on to design the United States Supreme Court building in Washington, the Woolworth building in New York, the James Scott Memorial Fountain on Belle Isle. They didn't spare any expense building this temple of knowledge in the city's new cultural center.
I'm talking with Dan Austin of the Detroit Free Press and HistoricDetroit.org as we look at the 150th birthday of the Detroit Public Library. And I want to talk now about this beautiful, beautiful main branch, this building that architect Cass Gilbert designed and opened in 1921. And I have to tell you, I grew up near 9 Mile and Woodward in Ferndale, and I still remember the rush of once I got to junior high school, I could take the bus down Woodward, and I can't tell you how many Saturdays that I spent at that main branch exploring books, checking out books, listening to records from all over the world, and walking up and down that grand staircase. And I think, honestly, Dan, that building did something in my mind that has made me love libraries and books to this day. Can you take us on a little architectural tour of this building?
Oh, man. Well, much like many of Detroit's architectural wonders, you kind of have to see them to believe them. But as you approach the Woodward entrance, the outside of the building is covered with the names of scholars and intellectuals, and that knowledge is power, beautiful classical style architecture. And when you walk into the door off Woodward there, you know, you're immediately above you, you have all these beautiful ceilings gilded like gold and blue, and it's beautiful. But if you walk up a staircase on your right there, you're in this area with beautiful painted ceilings, murals on the ceilings. I don't know whether words can do it justice.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying here. But yeah. I mean, it's just such a beautiful building. It really is a temple of knowledge. And if you haven't been, I mean, it puts a lot of our suburban libraries to shame, and it shows how important libraries, education, had always been in the city of Detroit. I know that sometimes, you know, we see literacy rates falling and some of the things. Detroit might not seem like the place to go. I mean, these buildings, even some of the branches themselves, were just absolutely gorgeous, designed by some of the top architects in the region, if not the country.
So we've seen this temple, as you say, this main branch, that has seen wars, it saw the Detroit riots, it's seen the ups and downs of Detroit's economy. What's its condition today, and what are its future prospects? We know a lot of the branches have had to be closed, but what about the prospects?
Right. It's going to be the lone survivor if it comes down to that. I mean, obviously, the city's had a lot of financial issues, and funding for the libraries has taken a cut as well. It's seen a lot of branches close. The building needs some TLC. I mean, you've had some water damage on that staircase. Some of the paint needs a little bit of a touch-up job, but the building is still gorgeous. It'll be here for generations to come. And the Burton Historical Collection is also housed in the main branch of the Detroit Library. That's also celebrating a big anniversary this year. This is where I go all the time to find out the stuff that I tell your readers about. Everything from blueprints of Michigan Central Station to diaries of the Detroit luminaries. I mean, they have so much stuff. So if you're at all interested in history, not just Detroit's history, but Michigan's history, the Burton Collection there is definitely worth checking out as well.
And I ought to ask you, Dan, how does one access that? Because my understanding is you can't just wander in and look.
Sure you can.
Ah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a resident of Detroit, you can go in free anytime. If you live in a suburb, they want you to buy a day pass. But you just go in. They have card catalogs. Look up whatever topic you're researching. Give it to them. They'll go down to the basement, and they'll pull up whatever record. I mean, whether it's Silas Farmer's scrapbook or work by Charles Agri, an architect. You know, some of his files are there. I mean, anything you're looking for, they'll pull up, give you this folder. And then, well, you're going to lose a couple hours of your day just searching through all of the amazing things that they have to discover.
Yeah, you brought back memories of a lot of happy hours for me, I'll tell you that. Well, the 150th anniversary celebration happens Wednesday, March 25th, this Wednesday from 5 to 9 p.m. It's open to everyone, and it includes architectural tours. And as Dan said, if you have not walked up those stairs and seen that incredible main branch designed by architect Cass Gilbert, you need to do so. Dan Austin, Detroit Free Press and historicdetroit.org. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you.